juice?
No, that would sort of just give me.
Is it too cold for you? Do you want to put the heating up a bit?
Like a margarine container.
That's rolling now.
Is it too cold? Would you like the heating up a bit? Have you seen you? Have you seen you put an extra layer on? I'm worried for you, man.
Oh, we've got songs. We've got the songs. Oh, they're here.
It's perfect.
Okay.
Ned loves it.
Yeah, look at his shorts and his t-shirt and.
Brilliant.
Oh, I'm just going
to.
Oh, great.
So we're going to do a little short interview, and then we've got this absolute 90s thing where we talk about these 90s songs that you've picked.
Yes.
I don't really know what I'm doing there either, but.
Did the 90s list make it down?
We have it. I have a bit of paper here.
One request. Right. We could swap those two.
Yes.
Yeah, they're not in order.
Oh, okay.
Put them in whatever order you like.
Well, I'm happy to go with that order.
Those two are quite mellow, so you might want to.
I just swapped those two round the front, but the rest is great. Basically.
Okay, cool.
I'll leave it with you guys then.
Thank you. Right, can I just check your microphones are all. Would you like to speak into that one, Kevin?
Hello, check. One.
Hello. They all seem good. You could have your headphones on if you want. You don't need your headphones on if you don't want.
Great. It's nice so we can tell how. Approximate to the mic we should
okay
be.
Well, you sound Taps,
you sound all like, you know, deep in bass, you, baseball.
Yeah, so you can good? Talk more mellow than you usually do.
Hey, that's kind of like a nice kind of. Tyler, are you with us? You look like you're dozing off there.
No, man, I'm totally fine.
Tyler suddenly turned into a 60s stoned hippie. What's going on here? Hey, man,
that wasn't a sudden transformation.
Oh, was it? That's
oh no, dude, you finally figured me out.
That's the barenaked ladies. It's wonderful to meet you all. I'm a huge fan. I'm a little bit nervous.
Don't be nervous.
Don't
Ian.
Be nervous, man.
I've heard you guys can be assholes.
You know what? I was nervous. I was nervous when I first met you. But
well, bless you. That's
you're very disarming, and I'm not nervous anymore.
It's very nice to have you here. I was at the Hammersmith gig last night for an hour.
We played a lot longer than that.
I know. How long did you? I kind of, you know, I had to come and do the radio show, and I felt bad. So I've never. The only other gig I've walked out of was a Beach Boys gig, and that was because they sucked.
Wait a minute.
When was that?
This was a couple of years ago, so there were no Wilsons.
You walked out on John Stamos?
He didn't come over with them. If John Stamos had been here, that might have been all right. But it was Mike Love. I'm a huge Beach Boys fan. There were eight men on stage. I only recognized two of them, and I felt. A bit cheated.
Al Jardine's gardener, I think, is there.
Al Jardine's not in the Beach Boys anymore.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
Bruce Johnston and Mike
Love. And that's it. I met Al Jardine at LAX, and I was very, very, very nervous. And I don't normally go up to people, but I had to go up to him. And I went, Mr. Jardine. And he had his back to me. And he did this. He went, yeah, can I help you? And it's just, that broke my heart. Al Jardined me.
Do you know that Brian Wilson recorded a version of our song called Brian Wilson?
I know this, and he performed it live at the Roxy.
Yes, isn't that amazing?
He does it in concert. How mad is that?
Pretty incredible.
That's great, and he brought it to the studio to play it for us. When
Did
we
he
were
really?
Working. Yeah.
And well, working at Cello Studios.
In Los Angeles, and Don Was was friends with him.
Yeah.
And he came by the studio and played it for us, and after it was done, he said... So, is that cool, guys? And, you know, needless to say.
It was kind
of
cool.
He also left us with a kernel of wisdom, which I've ignored.
Yes.
Don't eat too much, fellas.
Yeah. Before he left the studio, he turned around and said, remember, fellas, don't eat too much.
This is from the man that wrote Good Vibrations.
Yeah. We love him.
Not Good Libations.
Well,
Good
Vibrations. In the 60s, he set up, when he was going through his... bonkers period, he set up a health food restaurant or a health food shop called the Radiant Radish that was open 24 hours a day.
No.
Really?
Yeah, he did.
Why would you make things up, Ian?
No, it's a true. That is a true Brian Wilson story, and I would never lie to you about. But you mentioned the Brian Wilson song. That was the song that got me into you, because I remember being at college, and suddenly this song came on. Brian Wilson came on the radio, Capital Radio then in the day when they played good music.
What did you study at college, Ian?
I studied performing arts, Ed.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
At any moment I can jump on this table and
gotta sing, gotta dance.
Yeah. Razzle dazzle them.
It was the most pointless. We didn't have any exams, and we only wrote three essays in the whole 3 years. Can you believe that?
Wow. I'm assuming this was pre-Pop Idol. Day.
This is pre-Pop Idol, yeah. This is when you had to work to make it on local radio.
Writing about performing is like performing about speech.
Architecture.
I don't know. Yeah.
Did any of you not go to college before you start dissing me for having a 2-1 degree?
Tyler's
Thank you very much.
One. Tyler's the only one with a degree.
What did you study, Tyler?
Radio and television arts,
so he
Ian.
Knows what all the buttons
did you?
Do.
Yes. I could conduct this interview.
if you wanted.
Away you go, sir.
You don't want that.
3:55 live on blah, 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 FM. I'm Tyler Stewart here with the Barenaked Ladies and our special guest today, Ian. Ian.
Yes, sir.
Where'd you get that sweater, mate?
This is from The Gap.
Good night. I've been Tyler Stewart. Absolute Radio.
Why didn't it take off for you on the wireless? You could be a huge... Forget these boys.
That was a deep interview.
These boys are holding you back, Tyler. Honestly, you need to go off and do your own thing, man.
I've been told that, but, you know, I like these guys.
Singing drummers.
Yeah.
There's not many. Mickey Dolenz and Phil Collins. That's all I could think of.
Levon Helm.
Levon Helm. And Ringo, really. I mean, Ringo sang.
For my birthday, I got given a Ringo Starr All-Star Band live DVD, and my wife had never seen Ringo sing, and we put it on, and he came out and sang Photograph, whatever, and my wife thought he was taking the piss. She goes, is that really his voice? Is that his singing? But I love Ringo. I think he's got charisma.
There's a couple of really good songs on his new record.
Are there?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good. And Levon Helm,
of course.
He's the inspiration for all singing drummers, really. Oh, the guy from Night Ranger.
Sister
Christian on the time has come.
He's not the lead singer, though.
He is. Kelly Keegi.
Come on.
He's totally
the
lead singer.
Let's go down that line. Let's talk about drummers' names.
He's the lead singer.
But I saw, I'm a big fan of Kiss, and I saw Kiss recently, and you're missing a trick, Tyler, because I think it's Eric.
Eric Carr.
Eric, no, he's
not anymore. He's
Eric
dead.
Singer, yeah, it's Eric Singer now.
Eric
he's back
Singer.
In.
Oddly enough, as a drummer. Singer, Bill Drummer.
Anyway. But you're missing a trick because what he has, he'll be drumming.
Yeah.
And then when it's his turn to sing, someone is down by his feet. They swing a microphone in. So he just looks up, sings, then the microphone swings away.
Wow.
You need someone else on tour with you.
I'm sorry. After the recent rounds of budget cuts due to the economic turndown, we can't afford that.
You've had to let that go.
Yeah, absolutely.
We had to let go of the makeup and outfits as well.
And the tank. We don't bring the tank out on stage anymore.
Man, this is and the drum risers and the fireworks. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Did you remember we saw that thing the other night? What are they called? One of those crazy guys in masks bands.
Oh, Slipknot?
Slipknot, yeah.
They're still around.
Their drummer goes like 360 degrees up in the air
beautiful.
And does a solo, and he's all strapped in. So
beautiful.
Like, what a waste of my time and yours.
That reminds me, how about drummers that don't sing but write all the lyrics? Like
Neil Peart?
Neil Peart.
Who's Neil Peart?
From Rush.
From Rush.
Oh, of course.
Excuse me.
Sorry, Canadians. I'm vaguely aware of Rush, but I'm not a huge Rush fan. Let's not fall out culturally over this. Is that? I think that's the only drummer that does that, though, isn't there?
I think maybe he might be, unless there's someone.
No, I think Howard Jones's drummer wrote all of his lyrics as well. That guy who stood up in the white suit.
In the
Jeb Hoyle.
No.
Jeez. Yeah.
Jeb Hoyle.
No, he absolutely didn't. I just thought it.
Well, there's Vinny Colaiuta. He wrote all the lyrics in Sting's album.
Yeah, no,
one,
I don't
two,
think
three,
he
four,
did.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
he did all
7,
the
one.
Counting.
Jimmy, you cold. I'm worried. Look, you've put an extra layer on.
It's
you've
only
got
the
fleece.
Beginning. It's only the beginning. My 5-star sleeping bag is right down here.
I have to say, last night was the first time I've seen you live. I've been a huge fan since college, so like 15 years ago, 16, something like that. And I've always kind of missed you.
We played in the UK 170 times since you went to college.
I know,
Ian.
Man.
You can't tell me you were busy every time we were here. There were times we were here and you were free and you just didn't come.
Busted!
Laser intent. Oh, right, what's on the telly?
Can I be honest? When you became like big pop stars with the 1 week song, I was kind of like, I was kind of
jealous.
We weren't your little secret anymore.
Though you were, and I was a bit bored.
Yeah.
How dare you?
I was busy kind of drinking and taking a lot of drugs then, and pop music at the time was not my thing.
Right.
Boring. So
I know, man, and I've kind of missed out on your middle period.
You were into like the demon drummers of Kodo at that time. You were going to see at art spaces, you were going to see Tycho drummers in their loincloths while you were totally high.
So Ian, why did you decide to come out last night?
Yes.
I got some free tickets, and I thought, no, I did. But
how dare you?
You got some free tickets in the past. You just sold them
for crack, for drugs. No, but I have bought tickets to come and see you in Cambridge on Sunday. As soon as I heard you're coming over, I booked tickets with my own money. God
wow,
damn it.
Saint Ian, they call you.
Yes.
We're not going to play there.
Anymore.
But I was surprised. It turns out you're quite good.
Ah, well, thank you.
You have a very tight little outfit.
We do it professionally. 22 years now.
Doesn't mean it's true.
Is it really 22 years? Because I'm not being funny. You all look still relatively young and untainted by the road.
Flattery will get you everywhere.
You're looking good, though, man.
Facial cream.
Thank you. You too, Ian. Although I have nothing to compare it to because you never came to see us before.
How about, listen, I'm going to come to every other gig on this tour, and then every other tour you ever do in the world, I'll come. I'll be one of those people that stand at the front just rubbing my legs going, Ed, I love you. Ed, I touch myself and think of you.
Oh great.
There must be. Do you get, obviously you won't be too rude about your fans because, they pay the bills and stuff. You must have the odd fan.
You know, we actually discussed our fans, particularly our UK fans the other night. We had a long chat about them because they're cooler than our fans anywhere else. Yeah. They're like hipster music fans.
Yeah.
And that's not the case everywhere we go.
Really?
Yeah, we have very nice, very astute, very intelligent fans over here.
Yeah. Very politically done.
Yes, our fans are, they're quite passionate too. Yeah. And so they wait around to see us every night when we come out. After the show.
What are you saying, Tyler? Where's this going?
No, it's great to see them every night.
We know them quite well.
We know them by, it's like another day at the office. Morning, Sam. Morning, Ralph.
Hi, Henry. Hi, Liam.
Yeah, how's it going?
Hello,
nice
Michael.
To see you. Yeah.
Hello, Barbara.
Yeah. I got to say, though, Jim, last night, I kind of got a little gay crush on you.
It's okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's okay.
Because you were all over the place with that bass guitar, man. You were rocking out.
What draws the similarity to homosexuality there?
I just kind of felt a little bit aroused. I'm not comparing his bass playing to gay. I'm just saying.
He does play it. Jim is a heterosexual man, but he's a gay bass player.
I play my bass sexually.
But I'm saying I found it quite sexy.
Thank you. I was like, you finally, someone understands. Yeah.
You know what, Jim? He's not the first. I notice it every night.
Shall we leave you two alone for a
few minutes? Yes.
Would you mind, Kevin? Would that be all right? And we were discussing this earlier on in the foyer. You don't use the plectrum technique. You use the
finger.
Sexy fingers.
Yes.
You look like you're very good with those fingers. A lot of things you can do with
a transcript of this interview will be available on gaybass.com.
Kim Deal is the pick. Yeah. The plectrum.
So there's no shame in using a plectrum to.
It's
to
okay because she's cool. Kim Deal is cool.
Now I should probably talk about like you and your music and stuff. I guess that's sort of what we're here for.
All right.
The new album.
Yes. I understand it's quite good.
It's excellent.
Thank you.
There's always a worry I have with bands that I like when they bring out new albums. You think is this going to be the stinker? You know, is this going to really? But it's
luckily we got that out of the way.
Couple.
Which one was that?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just being cheeky.
Have you done one song where you look back and you think, what the? Why did we write that?
Yes, another postcard from chimpanzees.
I love that song.
I know.
I love it too. The
it's
problem was
song.
It shouldn't have been the first single from
no,
that record.
No.
It was a great song and it's a slamming track, but it came out as the first single and everyone went, oh, they're just
they're
silly.
A comedy band.
Because if you have to think about the song, you go, why am I even thinking about a song about postcards from chimpanzees? But if you listen to it, it's got some groove and it feels good.
It's a genius
song. I love it when
song.
It goes on. But as soon as it's turned off, I go, why was I just grooving out to that song?
Should have been on our kids' album.
Do you know what makes it so good? Ed's English accent.
Thank you.
For the chimps in the
British chimps in the bath.
Is it bath?
Wow.
I thought it was bar.
No, in the bar.
I thought you meant in the bar, like in a pub. Oh, I see. No. I've misunderstood the
because,
whole...
Because, you see, we pronounce it bath.
Bath.
And, he was giving away his the regional affiliation of the chimp by saying bath.
You know, when the chimps
you don't
leave
need to
England...
explain the song to me. I get the concept.
And then there's the one part where he says...
You're very loud.
Am I? I'm always very loud.
Jeez, Tyler,
calm
down.
Yeah, but distorting like crazy.
Headphones required?
Yeah.
I got so excited about chimps.
Great.
You done?
Great.
There's a little bit of tension here, Tyler. Do you need to step outside and get some air? Are you...
No.
Okay, that's good. Let's go back to Stone 60s.
Totally cool.
Okay,
man. Totally cool.
The new album.
Yes.
It's very good.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
How has it been received by the kids? Are they digging it?
We couldn't be happier.
Yeah.
The record was a big deal for us. It was our first record as a four piece, and there was a lot of consternation involved in approaching that.
Yeah.
But as soon as we started working on it, it was fun and challenging and engaging, and we put it out and literally got the best reviews of our career.
Yeah.
And the response from the fans has been so encouraging, and we're very, very happy.
we got to sort of reinvent how we made records together.
Yeah.
You know, we had a lineup change, and over the years, you sort of make, you get caught in patterns of creative patterns, and we were able to reinvent it.
Was that kind of, was that quite refreshing, having to come at things from a different angle? Because I can imagine doing it for 20 odd years, it could get a little bit stale and a bit predictable. Really.
Yeah, and I, you know, I'm always careful to point out that that's not a reflection of Steve.
Yeah.
You know, because Steve, we parted ways with Steve, and it would be easy to pin a lot of negativity on him.
Yeah.
But we were all in weird patterns, you know, and the fact that we became a quartet, just naturally everything was re-examined, and we changed the way we do a lot of things. So it was a function of becoming a four-piece.
How do you write songs? Do you go in? I mean, Ed, you're kind of the main songwriter, although I think you all sort of do bits and pieces. Do you go in with a song and say, I got a song, this is how we're going to do it? Or is it more of a collaborative, you all chuck in ideas and see where it goes?
I actually really count on the guys to make my songs interesting. And, you know, I bring in a very skeletal song.
Mm.
It has chords and a melody, and I have, sometimes I have a rough idea of the rhythm and the arrangement, but
I'm scared of skeletons. They freak me out.
I'm confident that I can bring in a very fledgling idea.
Yeah.
And these guys will run with it. And that's what's great about having a band around you.
Yeah.
And having the confidence to put an idea that's not yet fully formed out there.
On the single, Every Subway Car, who's the lady that's singing with you?
Her name is Erin McCarley.
She's got a hot voice, man.
She's quite
hot. Who is she? I've never heard of her.
We hadn't either.
How did this pairing happen then?
It was like, you know, our manager said she'd be great and you guys should check her out. And I listened to her record and it was good. And so we did it and then we never saw her again.
Oh, the top.
We sang it with her once.
Yeah, she came out and sang it with us in Nashville. And then we went to make a video for the song and she said, oh, no, I can't make it. I'm writing for my new record and I'm sort of in a different headspace right now. And we're like, oh.
Tyler, what did you do?
That's great.
Oh, it's just a classic one-night stand story. And really, I mean, she came to the Ryman. We kissed passionately and she just felt weird.
Shame on you.
Well, it was because it was Ty and I that kissed passionately.
Yeah, that's like freaked her out.
You tried to put on some kind of sex show for her.
She's a homophobe.
She's a homophobe. I'm sure she's not a homophobe.
No, she's not.
But so you're never going to work with her ever again?
I wouldn't say that. Mm.
We won't do more videos with her, I don't think.
Good chance.
Never say probably never.
But she's got an amazing voice, and it goes, it kind of blends, it's unusual and unexpected, but it blends in really well.
Yeah, it's lovely.
She did an amazing job.
She did a really great job.
Thank you, I'm glad you like it.
Can I just say, Snack Time, one of my favourite albums
of all time.
Me
too.
There is a song, Pollywog in a Bog.
Uh-oh.
And over here, that's a bad word.
Well, it sounds like a bad word.
It does sound like a bad word, and I always listen to it, and I always think, oh, I don't know, is that, because I don't know what a pollywog is.
So I thought it was bog, toilets, we can...
No, that's not a
pollywog is a tadpole. It's just another word for a tadpole. But
we got that feedback as soon as we recorded the record. And
I'm not accusing you of being racist. I'm not saying, hey, the BNL, BNP. That's not what I'm saying at all. But
no,
it's just, I would never draw that comparison. No, for goodness sakes.
After we made the record, we had never heard it's gollywog, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We had never heard that term.
Yeah.
And that was the immediate feedback we got from our British publicist. Was like, oh, that song's a bit touchy.
You can't lead with that. And I immediately thought, oh, the racists have won. I can't put a song about a tadpole
they've
on
stolen
the radio.
Our songs, they've stolen our tadpoles, for goodness sakes.
Ever since the tragic events at the pond.
People have had to be very cautious. But it's a fantastic album, a whole kids album. And it's, you know, it's got some brilliant pop songs on it. You know, that adults, I think, can dig. And I quite often have it on in the car when I'm driving around.
Well, that's, you know, that was part of the goal. Because we know as parents that when kids listen to something, they listen to it a lot.
Yeah.
So it was our goal to make a record that was as fun for the parents as for the kids.
It was great, too, because we didn't have to rely on any feedback from reviewers or wonder how it was doing. Because you go to the schoolyard to drop your kids off, and it was parents saying, hey, we listened to your album, it's great. Or, you know, Sean won't listen to anything else. Yeah. He loves your songs or whatever. And it was instant schoolyard feedback.
Yeah, fantastic.
It was cool.
And now we're working on a record for seniors called Nap Time.
You should do it.
I know we should. And we should list 20 songs, but only actually do one, and everyone's asleep.
Force these losers to do it, Kevin. Come on, you can do it. It was good to see you doing lots of singing and playing and showing off last night. What's that weird little sound box you've got that was just doing all the kind of sonic magic nonsense?
Oh, the white one?
Yeah. It was
racist.
All like... I have often thought that about you. Your keyboard style is very offensive and right-wing. No, it's kind of all all psychedelic noises and
it's stuff. Called a synthesizer.
It's a lovely a lovely machine called the Access Virus.
Plug. Good plug.
Is it? Yes.
Wow, I've never heard of such a
piece. Actually, I think keyboard players are the most... they exhibit the most racial harmony of anyone on the stage.
Ebony and Ivory.
Ebony and Ivory together making beautiful harmony in music.
Yeah. Stevie Wonder and Paul McCartney, of course.
Indeed.
How about our special guest last night?
Charlie Bronson.
Charlie Bronson.
Were you around for that?
I saw Charlie Bronson. Oh. Friends Most Dangerous
That was
man.
A total surprise.
That was Boothby,
to us.
Right? Boothby.
Yeah. But we watched the Tom Hardy.
I've not seen the film, but yes.
It's amazing. You've got to see it.
Incredible. We watched it on the bus. Tyler's actually watched it 4 times in the last 2 weeks.
He's made sure that all of us watch it.
I've seen one scene from it, and it kind of does like Matrix sort of camera. It's a weird camera effect going on or something.
There's a lot of really cool cinematic techniques and a lot of cool narrative techniques in that movie. Anyway, it's a great movie. Tyler loved it. I had already seen it before we came over to Britain, then bought it when he got here, and has sat with each of us individually while we watched it.
Holding our hands.
To make sure we'd watch it.
I was a little obsessed, I gotta admit.
And Boothby came out as Charlie Bronson.
Yeah.
Did he shave all his hairs? I've not seen Boothby for years.
He had a full head of hair in soundcheck.
Yeah, he bought a bald wig, and then he said, you know what, that isn't good enough. I have to actually be bald.
Fair play.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've not seen Boothby for years, because he used to be on the stand-up circuit. I kind of started stand-up years ago, and he was fantastic.
You started stand-up?
Yeah, I invented
it
in this
country. You were the first stand-up comic.
In this country. I brought it over from the States.
Yeah. Wow.
But I kind of saw that. I thought, this could work in the UK.
Wow, you must have been a huge hit at performing Arts College.
I did. Very recently, last year, I got paid several thousand pounds to do a performance art piece called "Audience Performer, Fuck Off." It was. I had to stand in front of the audience and basically say "fuck off" for 20 minutes. Several thousand pounds. Listen. I'm going to do one slightly self-indulgent thing, if I may. Cut this bit. I'm going to. My wife is a huge fan, and she would love. This is a bit weird. She would love to sing a bit of One Week to you. It's always been her fantasy. She sings it to our little boy who's 8 months old. But she works at the BBC, so I'm not allowed to say it's my wife. So I'm going to say that my friend Sarah, it's not a name, is good, and she's not allowed to speak, so she's going to cough and then sing the song. I know it's a bit weird. Would you indulge me for two minutes?
Yes, of course. I'm so turned on right now. I don't know what's happening, but it's great.
Here's your edit point. Beep. So I've got a friend of mine, Sarah, who's a big fan of yours. She's very, very nervous, but it's her fantasy is to sing a bit of One Week.
A friend. Okay. A friend. What's your relationship to this, Sarah?
She's just a really good friend. She's a really good friend of mine.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And
Do her mates call her Sarah as well? Or is
they call her Sarah Moss. That's her name. She's quite hot, if I'm honest. You won't hear this.
Should marry her.
I'd love to. I'm married already.
Okay,
so you won't hear this. I don't know if there's any spare headphones down there, but you got Kevin Nagel.
Okay.
Hello, is that Sarah?
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Sarah.
Sarah, I have the Bare Naked Ladies here, and they brought this up spontaneously. I didn't suggest this. They were wondering if you could sing One Week to them.
Mm-hmm.
She sounds so excited.
Away you go.
One,
two,
three.
Hold it now and watch a hoodwink. I'll make you something. You think you're looking at Aquaman, or someone fish to the dish, or like the Sally sister, like the sushi, because it's never such a frying pan. Hot like the shabby one of us, man. Think like Leanne Rubs, because I'm all about value. Bird camp, it's got the mad hit.
Woo!
Gotta hold it, but I break it through. Gonna make the breaker take a fake, I like the pinky neck, you think I like vanilla, it's the finest of the flavors. Gonna see the show, because then you know the vertigo is gonna go. It's the dangerous, you have to sign a waiver.
Yes, Sarah! She's still going. You're amazing.
That was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Have you finished, Sarah?
She knows.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much for that.
Sarah, Ian has a huge crush on you.
Don't tell her that. My wife's listening.
Oh, sorry.
Don't say that.
Sarah.
Right. Sarah, thanks. Maybe I'll see you around in the next few weeks.
He's deeply in love with you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There we go. So, I'm sorry. That was...
Wow. That was amazing.
Listen, that was great.
Okay, the new album is All in Good Time. But do the business. We should have done some business. New album, All in Good Time.
Yes, indeed.
What's the website that the kids should go to on the internet and stuff?
Barenakedladies.com.
At barenakedladies on Twitter.
Yep.
What's your Twitter?
Baldy67.
Why don't you go for Baldy69? That's a comedy number.
Yeah, I wasn't born in that year, mister. And I don't like eating things.
We'll play every Subway car.
While getting the
new single. Is there, pick any other song from the Bare Naked Ladies back catalogue and we will play any song. Any song.
Tonight's the Night I Fell Asleep at the Wheel.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one.
Now, you wouldn't know this, yeah. Ian.
No, I wouldn't.
But we closed our show at the Hammersmith Apollo with that song.
No, you didn't!
We did.
I hate you!
And because you didn't stick around,
I
you didn't
you.
See it.
Well, you should have said at the start, by the way, we're going to finish with a really sad song about a car crash.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that song. That's Maroon, isn't it?
It is.
And you also missed me singing Alcohol, Ian.
I'm not that bothered.
Perfect.
Bare Naked Ladies, it's lovely to meet you.
Shut down.
We love you, Ian. Thank you, Ian. Thank you.
Nice to meet you. Best luck with the rest of the tour. Ta-ta.
Can I? Oh.
Thank you, Ian.
There we go. That's that nonsense done. Thank you. Should I stop that?
Yes, please.